to know he is worthy. Hopefully you recognize how worthy he is. What does that mean? It means he deserves it. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory, the honor. We make sure we understand that. Worthy is the Lamb of God and what he has done for us. Hopefully at times as we're learning and the studies and stuff, what he exactly did, you recognize what he's done for you, you know, what he's done in life. Like I said, we all deserve death, and he came and died for us. And that's something. And not because of something we did, not because of something special about us, but because he loves us. And he came in our place with a gift, this grace to offer us, and worthy. He's the only one worthy to do that. Man, it means so much. Praise God for that. Hope everybody's doing blessed this morning, had a good week. But for the order of my steps, I want to go over an understanding of something that works in everybody's life, and I think we may take it for granted. I'm going to use an example here. I used it in Bible study. I'm going to use it now to kind of help us understand. Now, let's say I had a measuring instrument, and I called it a bleepo stick. Okay? Work with me here, all right? And I said, I'm going to measure this podium, and I'm measuring it now, and it's 3.19 bleeples. What does that mean to you? Absolutely nothing. Okay? And it should mean nothing to you. Okay? However, as crazy as that sounds, that was my stick. That was my measuring instrument. It was my standard of measure. Well, the problem is all of us have a standard of measure, if you like it or not. There is something that everything else is based on. There is something that as long as it fits that certain standard, then you're okay with it. The danger is if you have the wrong standard of measurement, you're in trouble. Now, to kind of start it off, if you turn your bulletins over, at the top of the page, measure is very important because God hates unfairness. This is just one of many verses where God shows this. In Proverbs 20, verse 10, it says, differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Now, some of you may say, well, that's easy enough. Just give everybody the same. But you look through the Bible, that's not exactly what he does necessarily, right? There is a measurement based on God, but by sight, you may look at it and go, well, wait, something seems unbalanced. It doesn't seem to fit what I think is fair. I've heard different versions of fair throughout the world, and it doesn't necessarily fit what true fairness is. Let's understand how we've got distorted first in our standard of measure, how we've gotten lost. Because until you get the right one, you may be living wrong, thinking you're right because you're using a bleepo stick. It says, how we live is based on measurement, and that measurement will be based on us, believe it or not. This is another dangerous thing you have to know. It says in Luke 6, 37 through 38, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now look what the key word is, will. This is one of those God promises. So how you use and live your life, how you measure it, the same will be to you. Now let me put this into a way that may be clear to understand. If I measure it negatively, then how it's going to be measured to me will be negatively. Does that make sense? In other words, understand, and we're going to see a little later what true measure is, every other measurement is wrong. And the problem is, if I use a wrong measurement for all of these things on how I forgive, on how if I condemn, on how I look at people, how I treat people, the same will, he says a key word there, will be measured to me. The same wrong measurement. Do y'all get this? Okay? I dictate that, and that's what thing I have to watch. Same thing with judging, even more so on judging. It says how we judge others will dictate how we are judged. It says in Matthew 7, 1 to 2, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, once again, a lot of us have ideas and feelings about how people do things and what people do. unless you're perfect, and I'm giving you the answer to the end of it, nobody is perfect. You have no right to judge in the way you do. However, for those of you who still continue to do it, he's letting you know, oh, you will be measured that way. God is saying, I am going to do the same thing to you based on you. Does this make sense? Okay? You have this choice to make that you're saying, okay, on this measure, when I don't like this, you shouldn't like this. But when I'm okay with it, you should be okay with it. That's a wrong measurement. But if I continue to do that, that's the same measure that will be given to me. Though a person may deserve a punishment, watch this, it's not up to us to give it, especially when we deserve the same. Look at this story. John 8:4-11. John 8:4-11. It says, and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Now, stopping there, based on what the word says, they were right. You know, if a person was caught in adultery, and this is people, not just the woman, but of course, during that time, they really became more and more unbalanced. But that's true. Caught in adultery, that means they caught the person in the act, they were to be stoned. Okay? And that reason why they were trying to trap him was saying, let him say, oh no, don't worry about it. Let him ignore what the law was saying. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. I'm not sure what that was. It says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, now watch this, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. He's not saying she's innocent. He's saying those who like to make sure the punishment gets done, are you innocent? He's not saying she doesn't deserve a penalty. He's saying, but don't you also deserve a penalty? Y'all get this? Sometimes we get this attitude and we get mad at people and we want a punishment. I want justice. I want certain things to happen. Not realizing you're saying, so when I do this, I'm next. He goes on and watch what he says to her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older one first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. Now, let me stop there for a minute to kind of show the ending part, because Jesus made clear in one of the other verses in the gospel. He says, I didn't come to condemn. I've come to save the world. He says, but the word will condemn those. If you get a chance, look that up. But he's saying the word. In other words, a lot of us and the stuff that we do in that judgment time, the thing that's going to get us is what the word says. This is why we must live by the word. This is why you must be spiritual. This is why you must have the correct standard of measure. If not, you're going to be doing things that seem, everybody say seem, right, while reality is wrong, based on what is right and wrong. We tend to measure ourselves with self as the standard of measure. This is a very common measure. You'll get things, and as long as you think it's okay and you think it's good, then it is. And that's deceptive. 2 Corinthians 10:12-15 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And this is such a common thing. I'm okay with this. How many times have you heard people say that? I'm fine with this. That's me measuring me with me. I'm using how I feel about it, what I think. What I think is great, I set the standards. I think what is right and wrong. And here's the problem with that. This is so common, especially in the church. We start then questioning God. We'll go to God, and God, if you're not okay with me, then we have a problem. Oh, I don't mind this verse, and I don't mind that verse, God. However, this verse over here, I have a problem with. I don't like. Y'all see the problem with that? He's saying it's not wise. You're in a dangerous place. He says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. What does that mean? Well, he goes on to say, but we'll confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us. See, this goes back to what we're talking about in the sermon about humble. Humble is, if he says it's right, then it's right. If he says it's wrong, then it's wrong. What God says I am, I am. No matter what you say, no matter how you feel. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? That's what I am. That's what you are. He says, a field that reaches even to you. So this is for everybody, he's saying. He's saying, we are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did not get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. So in other words, there's a boasting or a bragging of the work that's going on, but it's not based on them. It's based on the God in them, based on what God said. This is what the apostles are doing. This is what's going on, and not for them, but to glorify him, to glorify God. So it's all based on God. But when I do it based on me, I struggle. I look around and I see, well, I think people should do more of this and less of this. And why aren't you doing this? And you should do it this way. And we struggle. And God's going, I never said that. You never checked with me. You don't base it on me. And there's a problem. Understand that God does not look for in men what man looks for in man. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, it says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Now watch what he says here. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Stopping there. He's saying not many of you were wise by human standards. In other words, there's a group of people that the world calls wise today. Okay? And God's saying they're not wise. You do understand that. And we follow and we listen to them. We call them experts. Right. We go to these people. Sometimes we allow them to counsel us. This can go in your finances, this can go in your marriage, this can go in your situations. And people go to these people because by worldly standards, they're brilliant. And I keep stressing worldly standards, but what you don't realize is they're using a bleepo stick. You got what I'm saying? They're using a standard that the world has held on and said, okay, that sounds good. And God's going, I never gave you that. And then we base our relationships, we base our finances, we base our health on what they say. And then years later, God, why is this happening to me? He said, because you never checked with me. Y'all see the problem here? Okay? And that's a huge problem because we're using a standard that's not of God. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world to despise, and the despised things that are not to nullify the things that are. Sometimes we got to be careful when you think you see somebody that the world holds in high esteem teaching you the word might not be exactly who God called. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Sometimes you get brilliant people that try to take on the word of God and teach it to you, but unfortunately, they're going to teach it to you based on them. You're so caught up by them and into them, you miss the word. There's a lot of those out there. A lot of, I'm talking about just outstandingly brilliant people based on the world, but not based on God. We love how they talk. We love what they say because they give you a lot more words. They give you a lot more definition. They have a lot more experience, a lot less God. They'll say things that you like to hear. But all these things right here, you usually bypass these people. They're not influential, not of noble birth. They're actually foolish based on the world. They're actually weak based on the world. In fact, by sight, you'd look at them and go, oh, he's speaking? So this is the compliment that we as Christians should want because that's who he's calling. But we tend to look for worldly compliments. You notice that? I want to be known as wise. I want to be known as strong. I want to be known as all these things. And he's saying, wait, wait, that's not who he's looking for. It goes on and says, so that no one may boast before him. No one may, like I said, I have to be very careful as a pastor. This is not Keith Smith ministry. This happens to be Keith ministering God. Do you understand that? I'm in God's ministry. Do you understand that? Okay, and I got to be very careful because it's very easy for me to get puffed up and you follow me. And it's not about me. He goes on and he says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The main thing you'll look at is what God has said. All I am, instrument. All you are, instrument. It's all. You want to make sure they glorify God. Not glorify you. See, the reason is we look at appearances. God looks at purpose or the heart. Okay? God looks for those with a godly purpose. 1 Samuel 16:7, we've seen this in the Old Testament. And he told them when they were looking for another king after Saul had messed up and it was, okay, it's time for another king to come in. And he gave Samuel this warning, as you notice. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. So now that's saying, you're going to see his brothers. They're going to look good. Man, they're going to be statured. They're going to be tall. They're going to look like what you would think a warrior should be. Do y'all get this? Everything you think, you're like, that's the person. Companies, and they did a survey, and they show it. What's given looks good, has what the world calls good attributes, get hired a lot faster. And they get let off a lot faster on crimes. They get over a lot faster in certain situations. Why? Because of how they look. On appearances, we go, well, they're too good looking to be so bad. Do y'all get this? Okay, and it's crazy because it shows it over and over again, and we do it, and we run into this. He says, man looks at that. And he makes clear here, he says, the Lord does not look at things man looks at. That's why I don't want to give God my advice, which we tend to do. You know what I mean? No. He says, man looks at the outward appearance. This is not just how the person looks, even how the person acts, what the person does, how much the person has. We look at that and we write it all down and go, that means they must be. You see a guy in a nice suit, a lot of money, driving a good car. First thing you'll go, oh, they must be. You'd be surprised how many times you hear people label them. You see another guy not driving, maybe walking around, not having the best clothes on or whatever. Oh, they must be. Isn't that how we do it? If you're being very honest, there are some people you'll feel comfortable walking down the street if you've seen, and other people you'll cross the street if you've seen. But God says, God made very clear, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the purpose, what that man is truly living for. And as we grow and we got to know, David really was a man living for God. It was even to the point where people don't realize, and it showed us in Isaiah, but we've seen it later, Jesus' appearance did not stand out. He was nothing to look at, is what the Bible said. He was nothing much to look at. That's why Judas had to kiss him. So when they went there, they said, show us who this guy is. You know what I mean? Because he didn't stand out. You know, all the movies, he stands out, like I said. You know what I mean? They make him glow. You know, his perm is just right. You know, his clothes are always right. Am I right? You know, I mean, he's the man walking in the front, and something about him, he needs to be floating. Well, in reality, you would have gone to him and go, okay, which one's Jesus? Do y'all get this? The world would have, I don't know which one. You understand? Because the appearance had nothing to do with it. Our measuring sticks are off. Relationships are distorted because of these measuring sticks. Things we do in life are because of these measuring sticks. People who you trust, con artists, man, they know how to have a right look or an appearance to con you. And you just get conned away. Do you understand that? Because they have that appearance. Because of our poor measurement, we worship wrong. Thinking we're right. And this is more common than not. Remember, he says to go through the narrow, not the wide, because many of us go into it with our wrong measuring sticks. Matthew 23:23-24 says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now watch this. You give a tenth of your spices and mint, dill, and cumin. So it's showing you're giving a tithe, which is right. Nothing wrong with that. He says, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have some people that are doing certain things out of the Bible faithfully. Man, they are some of the best when they're going to help a homeless group or doing something for somebody in need. And they're doing it once again. They'll do some basic things here and there. However, overall, they're missing mercy. They're missing some of the things that the Bible shows, mercy, faithfulness, and justice. They'll bypass things. They'll look over people as if they deserve what they're going through. They won't show a godliness towards people, but they're so puffed up in the stuff that they're doing. Well, I'm a good person. I help people, while they're treating other people bad. Now, watch what he says here. He says, you should have practiced the latter. In other words, you should have practiced the faithful mercy and the justice. You should have done that. He said, that's the more important matter without. And it can continue to do the others without neglecting the former. In other words, still pay your tithe. By all means, still keep paying the tithe, he says. But you got to make sure you're doing the other things. Sometimes as we go to church and we do some of the outwardly things, we think God's going to go, well, you did the best you could. While in reality, he's saying, and if you notice, you know where the Pharisees and Sadducees, he told them where they're going. We all know this, right? And if you watch them by the works they did, they were the most religious people you've ever seen. And today we have that in many cases. We have self-righteousness in which we can display a righteousness about ourselves, but some of the basic things he tells us we're missing purposely. How we love or not love. How we treat others or don't treat others. There's a verse that basically says, you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. There are Christians out here who are living and saying, I'm doing all I can, but holding a grudge. Clearly. Not budging. Why? Well, I feel how I feel. We allow the feeling to get in the way. And we neglect. So we're doing one side of it. And God's saying, you might as well go ahead. Live your life. You can't do that. So understand that we have to make sure we're doing the full package. But the only way to do that is to use his measuring stick. Unlike Jesus, we do things based on human standards, while Jesus did things based on God. Now remember, Jesus, who is God, came down, stripped off all of his glory to become man. So he was completely man when he's down here. Okay? So watch what it says here. It says, in John 8, 15 through 16, you judge by human standards. He made very clear to his disciples, he's telling them this. He said, here's the problem. You judge based on what humans say is right and what humans say is wrong. And we still do that today. If you think it's right or if the world thinks it's right, you even take a majority. Well, the majority thinks it's right. Majority has nothing to do with it. Okay? I don't care if a million people think it's right. If it's not based on the right standard, it's wrong. But he says, I pass judgment on no one. That's the first step he showed you here. Did you notice what he just said there? He's saying, you never hear my opinion. Take that in for a second. This is Jesus, as a man, saying, you'll never hear my judgment. You'll never hear how I feel about the matter. First thing. But watch what he says. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. So what he's saying is, I basically give you what he said. He's saying, you're not going to hear what I feel. I'm going to give you what he said. See, one of the biggest things when I counsel, I have to always be careful because there are times where I hear people give me situations and it makes sense. I understand where they're coming from. And I got to be very careful because I want to go, yeah, you're right. Go ahead and do that. The problem is that's my answer. But it's not in line with the right answer. Does that make sense? I have to give you what God says. Like Jesus says, it is written. The minute I go off and see and understand and start giving you how I feel, now you're in danger and I'm in danger. But when I go, yeah, but the Bible says, I know, but it's written. Do you understand this? I'm sticking by the right standard. He says, I stand with the Father. In other words, if God ever questioned me, he'd be able to say, Keith, that advice or that guidance you gave, where'd you get it from? Well, your word says, Father. Amen. But if he went, Keith, what? And if I went, well, the way I seen it, do y'all see the danger in this? Well, the way I seen it, I'm in trouble. Oh, man, I don't care how well I meant. It's how we have to be. The standard is so important. It's a matter of life and death. So how do we measure with the right standard? First of all, understand, everybody get this, there is only one true standard. Everybody say one. Okay, so get that. There's only one true standard. He gives you that standard in John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am, what's the next word? The. That's the key word. I am the. He didn't say He said the. Do y'all get this? The A, the truth, the life. You know how sometimes you have a question, you have multiple answers that would work. People say, I'll take that answer. I'll take none of it. What he's saying is, I am the. There are no other truths. There are no other ways, and there is no other life. Now, in knowing that, we as Christians still go to these other classes and groups and stuff to help us out, right? And they give us advice, and we'll take their advice. Is it based on Christ? Have you ever checked that? My wife got to go to a class for her profession to help her with it, and they gave her some advice and things of that sort. But the one thing she has to do, she had to take what they said and say, amen, that's great, but is it in line with God? See, sometimes we'll take that and go, well, no, this is for my job. This has nothing to do. Wait a minute. He said the. He didn't say I'm the religious way. He didn't say I'm the church way. In everything you do, is it in line with Christ? I heard people come and go, I read this book that said you only should eat this and only should. Sounds great. Is it based on the? That advice you gave me on my health, what is it based on? Is it based on, well, no, this person, he did this and he lost this much and he gave. All sounds great. Is the foundation the? Y'all see this? Immediately, anytime I get advice, I'll listen to it, I'll hear it, but then I check with the. It's not in line with it. Okay. It has to be within the boundaries. I'm skeptical. I'm going to be very careful. Do y'all see this? I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care how much schooling you had, how much testing you did. If it's not based on the, there's a problem. That's with everything. Does everybody get that? Everything. Check back with the. We miss the real standard because of the pushing of our own standards. Remember in Matthew 15, 6 through 9, he says, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. There's a lot of things we're used to doing that we like, that when you really start understanding the Bible, there are times, they're not even going over it because it's a whole other sermon. There's somebody who came to me about something that people regularly do as Christians. I showed them in the Bible, you do know that thing that you learned was not in the Bible. And I showed them it. I said, now, if you show me what you're doing in the Bible, we'll change it. And they went and they studied and they looked and they went and they asked somebody else and they came back, okay, it's not in there, but it's something we've always been doing is what they said. And I said, so it's up to you. Are you going to follow God based on what the Bible said, or are you going to continue to follow a tradition? And you can see the concern and the frustration and anger, and they continue to follow the tradition. And they're following exactly what God says. He says, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when you prophesied about you. Those people honor me with their lips. So they'll say, praise God, I love Jesus, and they'll say all the right things. Watch this. But their hearts are far from me. If their purpose was really God, the instant that person saw that answer that the word said, they would have gone, oh, that changes everything. It would have been no question. Was that what the Bible says? Oh, that changes everything. What they said was, but I've always done it this way. I always followed this, and it worked for me, even though the Bible says this, and I can't find what I've been doing in the Bible. Do y'all catch that? Nullified. And look what happens when you nullify it. He says, hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. When you do something in vain, it's meaningless. It means you're just going through the motions, wasting your time. It's doing absolutely nothing for you. He said, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. This is the key reason we get caught up. We follow those people. They say something we like. We start following it. It becomes a practice. We enjoyed that thing until somebody says, you do know that's not in the Bible. And you're like, what? But I like doing this. Ah, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. Do y'all catch that? So this is the reason why we mess up on the way. Next, we need to check what our wisdom and intelligence are based on and readjust quickly, if not based on God. We need to readjust quickly. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20 says, do not deceive yourselves. Remember I told you deception is a choice? I know we like to play the victim. I know people are like, well, I didn't know. You know, my grandkids are notorious for not knowing the things that they want to do anyway. But they're know-it-alls with everything else. You notice that? You know what I mean? They know everything else. But when there's something they want to get away with, well, I didn't know. Conveniently, seems to work out. And not just my grandkids, we do the same thing. Oh, the speed limit was what? Right? Oh, I'm not supposed to eat that? Oh, did I have too much of this? Do you understand? Oh, I didn't know. We like to play the victim. But when he comes to say, do not deceive yourself. It's a choice. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, stop. Then you go. You're a Christian based on what? That's the question everybody should ask. I follow Christ based on what? I'm a good person based on what? What are you basing it on? You should be able to come back and say, the Bible says this and give me sound doctrine. Your case is closed. That's absolutely right. Or you're going to sit there and go, maybe I'm not. The plus side, you can fix it based on him. Y'all get this? But if you sit in your pride and go, no, I don't care. I am. I don't care what you say, and I don't care what the Bible says. Then you're going to continue to be deceived. And then when that end time comes and you go, Lord, Lord, and he goes, I never knew you. That's devastating. here's the problem. It's eternally devastating. And that's a problem. He says, so if you think you're wise by the standard of this age, he should become a fool that he may become wise. In my early 20s, I did this exact thing. It was a time where I did this Bible study, but my Bible study was a mixture of what the Bible said, and there was these teachers I followed. So there was a mixture of both. And when I say a mixture, when I didn't care for or get clarity from what the Bible was saying, I went and took what they said. Now, they didn't give me clarity. They gave me an answer. And as I kept mixing the both, there was still confusion, but I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I was this man who had everything until one day I sat there going, something's wrong. Something's not consistent. Something's missing out on. I'm missing something here. So I became a fool. I started over. I started from scratch. I remember it was like after my 21st birthday, I said, okay. And I went to the Bible as if I became a brand new Christian. All my questions, everything started again. And it blew my mind. The first 2.5 years, I kept getting things, and I'm sitting there going, what? And I went through this thing of, I got to change this, and I got to do that. And yes, it did. It was a transformation that had to happen. Went through some changes with it. But when it finally came out, there was an understanding and a clarity of God's word. But before then, I struggled with it, really struggled with it. So I had to become a fool so that I may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written. Some of these people that we call brilliant, when we get to God, he's going to show how foolish they are. And we're going to sit there going, and I followed them. That makes us fools. He said he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are what? Futile, meaningless, dangerous. Then we must live by the right standards. See, now a lot of us then, we get it. We have the right standards. We understand everything I'm supposed to do is based on God and the Bible, but we're not doing it. Why? I don't know. Like I say, we'll say, I know the Bible says, but you'll clearly say it openly. However, you're still living your way. The Bible shows this in 2 Corinthians 10, 2-3. It says, I beg that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expected to towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Unfortunately, you have those who are Christians who still do things worldly ways. He's saying, I don't want you to come and think I'm going to do it your way. You know I'm a Christian, then why do you think I'm going to go in there and curse that person out? And if you're a Christian, why are you wanting somebody to go in there and curse them out? Amen? There was a time I was bothered by that, I remember, because it was a situation where a family member had a problem with somebody, and they were looking for somebody to go tell them off. So, of course, they did not pick me. You understand that? But my understanding was like, well, you should have came to me, and I would have gone and talked to them. And they were like, yeah, you would have talked to them. Probably made friends with him. But I was like, no, I would have talked. It would have been in the way God says. But we don't like that. And unfortunately, a lot of us as Christians are in that same way. Oh, I let them know how I felt. They made sure I got straight. They will never do that to me again. And you feel pride. Do y'all get this? There's a problem with that. You're still living the world way. Oh, but by the way, I'm a Christian. Y'all see the problem? There should be something different. There should be a godliness we display, not this worldliness we tend to give. Finally, we must judge by the right standards. And this is everything we do and everything we see. John 7:24 says, stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgment. Make right judgment. We all have the standard of measure that we need. Everybody has access to it. You have the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God if you've accepted Christ. So you have the access of the right standard of measure. Please stop using the wrong measuring instrument and start measuring based on God. Amen? All right. As the Word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to thank our Father and give Him the glory and the praise. And just go to Him, to look to Him, and to ask Him, and to talk to Him. And hopefully you're doing this every single day. Just going to your Father and saying, what's going on, God? And help me, God, with this. And thank you. Make sure you're thanking Him in every case. For those of you who want to write your prayers down, should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayers down on that. Put it in the basket, and we'll pray over it in the end. For those of you who like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see me after services or one of the deacons. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. As we should always do as an example to our children, along with our children, is pray continually. Amen. prayer and meditation.